You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. As we go through this series, we are in faith that our people would have a greater understanding of how it is to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And so is our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so we bring you this series for the month of February, Wholehearted.
All right, once again, we would like to welcome you to Every Nation Macau. And also, I would like to greet you a happy Chinese New Year. Can you please greet the person next to you again and say, Happy Chinese New Year. Kung hei fa choy. Sinian kwai le. Wow. It's already February. Wow, it's a new month. And we call also this month Love Month. How many of you are in love? Right? That's the reason why the title of our new series is Wholehearted. Amen? And in this series, we are going to talk about the greatest commandment to help us understand the true essence or the true meaning of love as commanded by God. So anyway, speaking of Love Month, I want to share to you some quotes or popular quotes, okay, on love. Right? Are you ready? How many of you like quotes on love? Okay. Like this one. Are you French? Because I feel for you. Yeah, you can take a shot. How about this one? Why do painters always fall for their models? Because they love them with all their art. Next one, let's commit the perfect rhyme together. I'll steal your heart and you can steal mine. Somebody's stolen your heart, huh? Next, a couple are on a date at a fancy restaurant. The woman tells the man to say something to her that will get her heart racing. He replies, I forgot my wallet. You are in trouble. Don't do that, all right? Make sure that your wallet is there inside your bag or your pocket, okay, that you can pay the bill, all right? How about this? Are you from Starbucks? Because I like you a latte. Who are you here? You are a coffee drinker. You know, you love coffee. Nobody? Okay, just my wife, huh? Just not even raising her hand. All right. Next one. Is your name Wi-Fi? Because I'm really feeling a connection. There you go. You are like a dictionary. You add meaning to my life. Okay. Have you tell that to somebody? Okay. Someone that you love. You add meaning to my life. Last one. I know, not yet. Do you like Star Wars? Because you're the only one for me. How many of you here watch Star Wars? You know Yoda, yeah? Okay. I think this is the last one. Is your name Duncan? Because I do not want to spend another day without you. Okay. We're going to have a date in Dunkin' Donuts. But you don't have that here. You go to Hebrews instead. All right. Anyway. All right. So when we talk about the subject of love, many times we define it as the world does, right? So the problem is, since the world is twisted because of sin, so many times our understanding of love turns out to be problematic or warped. Okay, so we cannot really bank in how the world defines love. Because even this world is bankrupt. Even this world is trying to find the meaning of love. Right? How many of you still remember that song? I want to know what love is. I want you to tell. What is that? You know, because this world is really looking for the meaning of love. And if you are pursuing the world and looking for the meaning of love by the definition of the world, you're gonna end up in a mess. Because again, the world, you know, the world's perspective many times or every time is warped. Okay? That's why it's important to understand love as God defines it. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Everybody say, God is love. Now, since God is love, we can only walk in love as we abide in Him. So that's why it is important for you and I, if we want to know the real definition, the real meaning of love, we've got to know God. Because God is love. Don't go to Joe DiMango. Dr. Love, try to find somebody who will give you the right definition. Go to God instead. Because it's impossible to walk in love if we don't know God. God is the author of love. So in this two-part series, we are going to talk about the greatest commandment. Why did God command us first? You know, this week, we're going to talk about the first one, to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about the second one. Okay, we're going to talk about to love our neighbor as ourselves. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I love you. Now let's go back to the scripture. You hear, from what we have read earlier in the book of Matthew, the religious leaders were looking for opportunity. They were looking for an opportunity to accuse Jesus and condemn Him. Because this expert of the law, he noticed that, you know, when Jesus was confronted by other religious leaders, you know, and they were trying to trap Him by His words, but they couldn't. So they were exasperated. They were frustrated because, you know, that this expert of the law, he realized that nobody can really trap Jesus from His words. So he stepped up and he started asking Jesus the question. What was his question? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? See, again, his motivation is to expose Jesus. Expose his knowledge of the scripture. Because you have here an expert in the law. You see, one of the enemy's tactics is to test our knowledge or our understanding of the scripture. When Jesus was about to enter the ministry, when he's about to start the ministry, he was also tempted. He was also tested by the devil. Remember that? He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry because he's doing prayer and fasting. He was seeking the Father for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to tempt him, to test him. So the devil used the scripture even to test Jesus. And Jesus refuted the devil through the word of God. Amen. That's why for us here, it is important for us to understand and to know the word. That's why right from the beginning, from the start of the year, we talk about the previous series on abide. Abiding in the word. We try to pound on the importance of the word of God to all of us. Amen. Because without this, we will not, you know, we're not going to know who God is. Amen. So because again, the enemy would try to derail the plan of God, especially if we do not know His word. You see, I realize that one of the most difficult sins to deal with is the religious pride. Okay? Religious pride. Everybody say religious pride. You see, someone who has a problem with religious pride would not accept that he has it. Pride blinds someone to admit that he has a problem with it. Like, you know, with pride, if somebody would tell you, bro, you are proud, you will not admit, you are too proud to admit that you are a prideful person. Right? That is what pride is. So it's similar with having that religious pride. You would not admit that you are committing mistake. So this expert in the law may have known the scripture, but not the person of the scripture. Jesus said to him, to the religious leaders, you diligently study the word, but you do not know the power of God. Referring to Jesus himself, he himself. So, in other words, it's so important not just to study the word, but having a humble heart. When we start studying the Bible, when we meditate the Bible, we've got to be humble enough to receive the word of God, to receive even correction from the word. How many of you realize that sometimes whenever you open this Bible, God would speak to you about your own issues? There will be certain things in your life that God would expose, particularly when it comes to pride. Now, if you are so proud, you would say, this is not for me. Maybe this word is for Loy. All right? Maybe this word is for, you know, for Papa P. Okay? You would not admit that God is speaking to you. Rather, you would deflect it and you would think that that word is for someone else. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, why pride? Because pride keeps us, you know, from recognizing Jesus. Right? Religious pride keeps someone from knowing the person. Yeah, I tell you what. I used to be very a religious person. You know, person who, you know, I even though I grew up for most of my teenage years in the church, I tell you, I was really religious, but I could always deny Jesus. When my siblings started to share the gospel to me, you know, I really struggled because of my religious pride. Now, how would you identify or know the religious spirit or religious pride in a person's life? You see, you will identify that because this person will start bragging more about what he knows. And this person would always care even more about his religious affiliation rather than his relationship with God, with Jesus. You see, Christianity, like what we have been harping here, it's not about your affiliation. It's not about religion. Jesus did not die for religion. Jesus died so that you and I may have eternal life, so that we can, that our relationship with God will be restored back to Him. Amen? And so that we can continually walk with Him. That is relationship. Are you hearing me? So true religion points us to the person of Jesus. It's about, again, the relationship. You see, today, many people would highlight religious affiliation rather than what is truly important, and that is our work with God. Sad to say, many religion today would highlight tradition, would highlight, you know, their customs, their practices, would highlight even the name of that denomination rather than relationship, which is the most important thing. Now, what will sustain a relationship with Jesus? When we talk about Christianity as relationship, what will sustain a relationship with Jesus? Just like in any other relationships, what will sustain our relationship is love. Everybody say love.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God." Say that with me again. Love the Lord your God. So what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God. So our love that is directed towards God. I tell you, it is a command. Okay? It's not optional. That's why Jesus said, when the expert of the law asked the question, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. So, it is a commandment and it's not optional. Love the Lord, that means we are to do it. Actually, the construct of the Greek indicates it's non-negotiable. All right? Now, you may ask, why love the Lord is the greatest command to us? Why love the Lord your God? Why not serve the Lord your God? Why not worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Why love? Why is the word love? Have you ever asked that question? Why not serve the Lord your God with all your heart? Because serving is our expression of our deep love to God. Same thing as worship. It's our, you know, it's our devotion, expression of our devotion towards God. So the reason why it's love, because before anything else, God is a person who has affection. Why love? Once again, it's because God is a person who has affection, capable to love and be loved. Are you hearing me? God is a person. Yes, He is God, but He is a personal God. Capable of loving you and capable of you loving Him back. Capable, in other words, He is capable to receive love from us. Do you know that in everything that God created, only man has given the privilege of loving Him? Of all the creations that God made, only man has given by God the privilege of loving Him. You can talk about any animals in this planet. No one is capable of loving God. Any creature, okay, or even any creation, even the mountains and the valleys and the skies, they're not capable of loving. And hear me this. I want you to really listen to me when I say this. Not even angels or the creation in heaven are capable to love. They are not created for love. Let me say that again. Angels or heavenly beings are not capable of loving. And you can search the scripture and you will find none that tells us that angels, even angels would say, "I love God." Hello? You know, the book of Revelations, the angels of heavens, the cherubims and all the creatures in heaven, what was their cry in heaven? What was the declaration in heaven? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. In another account, the angel said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." You see, the angels of the Lord were created by God to minister before Him and to assist, but never when it comes to love. Are you getting this? See, people, the most unique quality of every person is the ability to love. You may be the worst person in the world, but you have the ability to love. You may think of yourself, you know, incapable of loving, but I tell you, you still have that capacity to love. God has given you that ability that is unique. Part of the unique makeup or how God has created us as a person. So God has given every person the privilege of loving Him and to be close to Him. You see, that's why when we talk about Christianity, it's about, we always talk about relationship. And God has given us that access to Him, to love Him, to be close to Him. And, that's the greatest gift that God has given us, being able to express our deep love to God. How many of you here, you love the Lord? Tell the person next to you, say, love the Lord. And here we go. How are we to love the Lord, our God? How do you love the Lord, your God? The Bible says here, going back to verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It means that we have to love God with all we are. Love the Lord with what you've got in your life. Amen. He should be the absolute first in our lives. No one or nothing is to be put before Him. You see, we always say this, we have to go all in. Hashtag all in. Or give God all we've got as we follow Him. Now, why with all your heart? Why with all your soul? Why with all your mind? See the emphasis there. With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Because, you see, who you are and what defines you and me come from within us. Comes from the inside. I want you to hear this. What's inside your heart and what's inside your soul and what's inside your mind have shaped the person you are today. Your appearance doesn't dictate who you are. Your mind tells you you're handsome. I'm handsome. Your emotion tells you, you know, I love this person. I admire this person. It's not your appearance. It's not what you see from the outside. It's from the inside that tells you that. From your heart, you believe. That's why the Bible says, if you believe in your heart, Romans chapter 10, that Jesus is Lord. How many of you have encountered that scripture? If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that He raised from the dead, you will be saved. But the believing starts from the heart. Are you hearing me? From the inside, inward. From your heart you believe. From your soul is your emotion and your will. So, because we are tripartite being, we have soul. Soul comprises of our will and emotion. God created us with will. Are you hearing me? With emotion. That's why you feel hurt when somebody talks something bad against you. You feel hurt. You feel disappointed because you have emotion. And you have will. That's why you can decide. You can make choices. You see, God has created us with free will. Right? God created us with free will. He has given us free will to choose to love Him or ignore Him. Now let me talk to you a little bit about free will. You see, this is one of the greatest gifts that we have received from God. Free will. Say free will. Because you won't understand what love is without free will. You won't be able to understand what love is. What love is all about without free will. God gave you free will so that you can make a choice, whether to love somebody or to love God. But you see, God demonstrated that to us, that will to love you even though you are unlovable. John 3:16, it says there, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Even though we all messed up, even though we were sinners, God have chosen His will. He has chosen to love you. And so God has given us a free will also to make a decision. That's why even in the book of Genesis, you may think, why would God put that tree in the middle of the garden so that man can make a choice whether, you know, the first couple, Adam and Eve, will make a choice whether to follow God or not. Because if you really love the Lord, your God, what will you going to do? You have a will. So when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, it's your will. It's a command, but it's your will who will kick in really if you're going to follow His word or not. Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Look at Matthew 15:18-19. But the things that come out of a person's mouth, again, we're talking about what is the inside, the heart, okay? The things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart, and this defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. It started right here and manifested in the outside. See, loving God comes from the inner devotion and manifest in outward or outer expressions. Comes from the inside, what you decide. Your mind tells you, you know, one of the greatest expressions of your love for God is to devote your time seeking the Lord through prayer, through worship, through reading the Bible. So your mind starts to process that. And it permeates your heart. Because I really love the Lord, I'm making a commitment today. That is conviction. I'm believing that as I do this, I will grow in the knowledge and understanding of God. My intimacy with God will grow deeper. So now you're making a decision from your heart. Amen? And that's the way to do it. Because what are you thinking lately? What do you marinate in your mind most of the time? Because everything that you try to marinate in your mind, I tell you, if you flood your mind with all the garbages, what will come out of your heart are good stuff. You know, the Bible said that, you know, you don't expect that if you, you know, plant a mango tree, it will bear apple fruit or fruits. If you plant good seeds in your heart, time will come that you will reap. Okay, because it will appear in the outward. It will manifest outwardly. Amen? Now look at John chapter 14, verse 15. We're talking about the importance of the word as well. Because one way to prove to Jesus that you love him is by keeping his commandments. And Jesus said that, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So when we talk about wholehearted love is best expressed through our obedience to God. How you respond to the word. It's not how you respond to your traditions. Did Jesus say that? How you respond to your customs. You know, I'm not saying that traditions or religious traditions are bad. I'm not saying that. There are good traditions. But when it comes to loving God, and Jesus is very clear about this, it's about obedience to his word, how you respond to his word. So when we say we love God, it involves doing what the word tells us, tells you and me. For example, why would God over and over would tell us, study the word? Why would God tell us that? Because it would help us. Because the goal of Christianity is so that we may know the person. And there's no way you will know Jesus apart from his word. Why would God tell us to pray? Because we connect to God through prayer. All this stuff. Why does the Bible tell us to go to the church? To have fellowship with other believers? Because this will help us in our spiritual growth. There's always a reason why God commands us and tells us to do something. It's not for him, it's for us. For you. Because the goal is for you to know and have a healthy relationship with the person of Jesus. I hope you're getting this. Wholehearted love is best expressed through our obedience to God. So loving God is a choice. Amen? That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey or you will keep my commandments. So the question there is, am I keeping God's commands? Am I really loving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? I believe you do. Look at the person next to you and just throw a smile. Man, I love the Lord. You see, loving God is a choice. And you know, you see, the choice is every single day you have to make a choice. That's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Say daily. Okay. Well, I tell you what, there are so many challenges that we face in our lives daily. Even making decisions for ourselves, sometimes it's a big challenge for you. What you're going to eat. Imagine from the morning. Can I think about that, man? What am I going to eat this breakfast? Then you have lunch. And you're going to make a decision again. And you have dinner. And for some people, it's a big challenge for them already. And how about at your workplace? So all this stuff, man, every single day, there will be always challenges. If your life is not in order, you're going to be in big trouble. Are you hearing me, people? If your life is not in order, now question, what are you going to do so that your life will be in order? I have a tip for you. What you're going to do is start your day with Jesus. Start your day with Jesus. Because He will guide you. He will direct your path. The Bible said, God directs our path. The steps of the righteous is being ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. How many righteous people do we have here tonight? Come on. If you are a lover of Jesus, if you are a believer, if you are a true Christian, I tell you, Jesus is going to guide you. So you start your day searching the Lord and really loving Him. Amen? Let me end this message. 1 John 4:9, it says here, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Amen, that we might live through Him. So the life that we have right now, I tell you, the life that we have is for Jesus. It's Jesus living inside of you. And the only way for you to live for God, to have life, that what the Bible is saying, is when you learn to surrender your life to Jesus. Wholehearted love happens as we surrender ourselves to Christ. Amen. Maybe you are here tonight and you haven't really acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I tell you, this is the best decision that you will ever make in your life. And for those of you who already received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you've been walking with God for many years already, I tell you, keep on pressing on. Keep on walking with Jesus. Keep on loving Jesus. Keep on reading the Bible. Keep on praying, seeking God. Keep on committing yourself to serve Him, I tell you. Jesus is going to bless your life. And you will see that. God is there always for you. I want you to really pray. We're going to pray tonight. I want to ask everyone to please stand on your feet.
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. God bless you.